I cannot express my profound gratitude for the opportunity to be in this meeting and to have this opportunity to share a few thoughts with you and this afternoon lessons. And I trust that what I've shared with you has been good and beneficial to you. I want to start off with a poem that will summarize my sentiments and my feelings about today and about this meeting. It's entitled A Bell. It goes like this: a song is not a song until someone sings it. A bell is not a bell until someone rings it. Love that is placed in the heart, it is not put there to stay. Love is not love until it is given away. Thank you for the love that you've shown towards me in these few days that I've been here. And I say to the elders, thank you. To your ministers, thank you for blessing my life and my family's. That we've been allowed to be here with you, and I tell you, I will treasure this until the day I die. I cannot tell you, if I had 2 hours, how thankful I am to be a part of this great congregation. And when we leave on tomorrow night, headed back to Henderson, Tennessee, if I don't see you all again, I hope to see you all in heaven. Amen. Let's continue our thoughts. We've been talking about relationships. I want to put something on the board. It's called RCP. Of human relationships. That's what we've been talking about. I've been sitting in my room and had time to think. And if I had more time to think I could get me a book out of this. Out of relationships. Roller coaster profile. A roller coaster perspective of human relationships. And when Dan said I was going to be speaking at noon, I didn't have any thoughts. I just said, well, I would love to speak about relationships. And so I've had an opportunity this week to think about 12 biblical insights for making relationships better, improving relationships. And so you have given me an opportunity this week to reflect on some things. And hopefully one day when I have some time, I'm going to sit down and put these in a little pamphlet. But we're talking about roller coaster profile perspective of relationships. And there are 3 assumptions that I want to share with you of this perspective. And the first assumption is that all relationships have their set of ups and downs. I shared that with you on Monday. All relationships have their challenges. All relationships. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Amen? If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. If you have parents, if you have grandchildren, you know what I'm talking about. We all relationships have their sets of challenges. They have their sets of demands that demand us confronting them. Otherwise, the relationship will decline in its satisfaction. That's the first assumption of this roller coaster perspective of human relationships. The second assumption is that all relationships can be improved. I believe that. All relationships can be improved. I don't believe there's a relationship that can't be improved. All right? But in order for a relationship to be improved, that brings us to assumption number 3. Change must occur. And the change must occur in what I call the cognitive thinking perspective. It must occur in the mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a person thinketh where? In his heart, so is he. If I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife, I can't change Rhonda. I've got to change myself. If I'm going to have a better relationship with my children, the change must occur first with me before I emphasize a change in my children. If I'm going to have a better relationship with church family members, I must change myself and not spend all my time trying to change others. And so, in this roller coaster perspective of human relationships, all relationships have their challenges. All relationships can be improved. But relationships, in order for them to improve, demands change. Change with self. And what I've been sharing with you are some biblical insights that can change a person's cognitive thinking that will lead to a change in a person's behavior. Did you hear what I just said? These biblical insights are designed to change your heart, because when your heart is altered, there will be I guarantee you, not because I say so, because that's a biblical principle. If your thinking changes, your behavior will also change. And I've mentioned to you five biblical insights thus far, and I'm going to mention three today and four on tomorrow. And I give you 12. But I'm going to have three I want to share today. And let me just mention to you the five that we've talked about thus far. In order for there to occur a change in my cognitive thinking, the first thing is that I have to treasure my relationships. I have to treasure my relationship with my wife and with my children, with my God, and with everyone else. When you treasure something, remember Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where a man's heart is, there's treasure will be also. When you treasure something, you're going to put forth the effort. The reason Ron and I've been married 30 years is because I treasure her. The reason I've been in the Lord's church 37 years is because I treasure my relationship with my God. You see, if you don't treasure something, you'll walk away from it. There's no way I can walk away from God because I value him. He's dear to me. The second thing I've mentioned is not enough to treasure something. You must never stop dreaming. Dreaming is visualizing. Visualizing, planning, organizing any business that's going to be successful, the leaders must plan and organize. If my relationship with my wife is going to be successful, I've got to plan. I've got to plan and strategize. Rhonda and I being together for 75 years, if I live to be that long, age. If I'm going to be in the church, I've got to strategize. I've got to plan being faithful to God. That's why Peter says we are to grow. That's why Peter says we're to add in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. That's strategizing. That's planning. And anything that's not planned will fail. Remember number 3, you must be willing to make some sacrifices. You must be willing to change some things about yourself. We spend so much time trying to change others and we forget to change self. In the first 6 months of my marriage, I shared with you on Monday that I spent the first better of 6 months of my marriage trying to change Rhonda. And almost ruined my marriage. I almost ruined it. I mean, I am thankful to God. And I tell you every day, I said, God, thank you for giving me the wife that you gave me. Because no other woman would have stayed with me. Any other woman would have left me. But God knew what I needed. Someone to change Sammy, that I'm a better man today. I'm a better person today because Rhonda didn't let me change her. I'm going to say this. She changed me. Now, that's the first time I admitted that, but she changed me. But you know what? I'm better because she's altered me. But I have to say, I've also changed her, and we've changed each other for the better. Number 4, I mentioned on yesterday, let go and live. Learn to forgive. Mistakes will be made in relationships. I made mistakes as a parent. I made mistakes as a husband. I made mistakes as a Christian. I made mistakes as a preacher. And you let go of those things and don't try to score keep, as we talked about yesterday, bringing up stuff that occurred 20, 30, 40 years ago. Let it go. Those things would only hinder progress in the relationship. And then number 5, you must be willing to share your thoughts and feelings. Be willing to communicate how you feel about one another. Men, if you've been socialized like I've been socialized, that men don't share their feelings. My dad didn't socialize and didn't share his feelings with my mom. My granddad didn't share his feeling with my grandmother because that was the way that they were socialized. But Rhonda taught me it was important for me to convey my feelings to her. And I'm glad. Because of that, I know I'm a better preacher. You see, 1 year after my first full-time preaching job, I was in the hospital. Some of you can remember the day that Elvis Presley died. The day he died, I was in the hospital. And the doctor came in and he said, young man, what in the world is eating you? What's eating you? You see, I didn't know how to let go of things. I didn't know how to share my stresses with Rhonda. It was my first full-time preaching job and I thought I was going to be able to save the world and I wasn't saving anybody and it was bothering me. I was taking home people's personal problems and they became my problems. And they were eating me up. 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I was in the bed crying. And one day, Rhonda came home and I was bent over and I couldn't straighten up. And she rushed me to the hospital. And the doctors said, young man, If you don't let go of some things by the age of 35, you're going to be dead. By the age of 35. And I realized that I need to change my life. And I said, Rhonda, I need some help. And you remember, I'm married to a lady that can talk to a stop sign. And the stop sign to say, go. Rhonda went to work on me. And guess what? That's why I can stand before you today and any day and talk about my weaknesses, my insecurities. Because I'm comfortable with myself now. And there were many times I didn't want people to know the real Sammy. I wanted you to see the pretending Sammy. That's the only Sammy that you got to see was the Sammy that I wanted you to see. And I realized I had to be myself. And if people can't accept me for who I am, and then they have the problem. I don't have a problem. And I can't solve the world's problem. I can only solve my problems. And I can need to be there for people, but I can't change people. And when I realized that, it was like a burden had been lifted off of me. And now I can live. Let me share with you very quickly three additional biblical insights for managing stress, managing challenges in life and relationships when they're up and down. Turn to Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 20. It's also stated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And I encourage every man, every woman, every person to listen to number 6, which is number 1 for the day. That is, slow down and take the time to say to the people with whom you're in relationship with, thank you. Thank you. Those two powerful words are so important in relationships. If you haven't said to your children today, if they're not here, they're somewhere, call them up. If they're still in the Lord's church, call them up and say thank you. If you haven't said to your wife or your husband today, thank you, call them up and say thank you. You see, we're so busy that we forget the little things of just saying thank you. There's not a day that goes by that I don't try to say to Rhonda, and my actions are in my words, thank you. Thank you for blessing my life. I know a day doesn't go by that I don't say in a prayer to my Father in heaven, thank you, God, for allowing me to be a vessel, to be used in your kingdom. I mean, God doesn't need me. I need him. And that's why he challenges us in Ephesians chapter 5 that we need to give thanks. And in 1 Thessalonians, we need to, in everything, give thanks. Take the time to smell the roses. Take the time to say to someone, thank you. But especially the people with whom you have a relationship with. I say to the members of this congregation, say thank you to the elders. I mean, it's a challenge to be a good elder. Amen? There are so many challenges out there. They're trying to feed your soul. And we need to take the time to say thank you. Please say thank you to your evangelists and your ministers here. Because there are many who don't want their children or grandchildren to be preachers. Because they have seen the neglect of other ministers. I challenge you to say to your deacons. I challenge you to say to one another. And that's why. It's not a pretending thing with me. Every Sunday, I love hugging. That's my way of saying thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I wished I had $1 million to give every one of you. But you know what? You'll spend it. But that hug will last longer. It reminds you that I'm trying to my very best to be real. That's who I am. That's who I am. I challenge you to say thank you. Don't be like, turn to Luke chapter 17. You know the story. Don't be like the lepers. You remember there were 10 men who had leprosy? You're familiar with the dreadful disease of leprosy and what it can do to you. And one day, all 10 of these men received a blessing from Jesus. Jesus told them to go and make their necessary a ritual to the priests. And when they went and did that, they were all made whole. And then you remember one guy said, hey, I'm going to go back and pursue Jesus and say what? Thank you. And he did. And Jesus said, were there not 10 of you healed? Where are the other nine? And this guy was a Samaritan. The one you were least likely to pursue Jesus. You know what? Sometimes the people in the world are more thankful than we in the church. Oh, let me run that by you again. Sometimes people in the world are more thankful than us in the church. I mean, look at our expression sometimes. Look at our lives sometimes. We're living like we're, you know, we have nothing to be happy about. Every day is a wonderful day to be a child of God. Amen? Amen. And we have nothing to be stressful about. That's why I mentioned to you on Sunday. I have been stress-free for 10 years of my life. I cannot remember a day in the past 10 years where I have not been happy. I can remember times in my life where I cried at 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, in the daytime, because I was allowing others to control me. But now the Lord controls me. And I won't allow anything or anyone to stress out my life. You know what? It has made me a better husband. It has made me a better father. It has made me a better Christian. All relationships need for us to take time to say thank you. Thank God for that one man that said to Jesus, thank you. When was the last time you said to your husband or wife or your children, your grandchildren, or to someone in the church, thank you? Number two. This is number seven. Number seven, it's not enough to say thank you. Remain dead to self. Remain dead to self. But what are you talking about? Listen to me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 28. It is so important. He says it again in Ephesians 5. Look at verse 33. And he's saying, Sammy, you can be a better husband when you don't think about yourself. You know, when I was the worst husband, when all I thought about was Sammy, making sure the house was clean up to Sammy's standard, making sure the bed was made up to Sammy's standard, making sure that the socks were ironed to Sammy's standards, making sure that the food tasted to Sammy's standards. You know what? I was a worse husband is when everything was about Sammy. In relationships, it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about the other person. I know how to make Sammy happy today. Make Rhonda happy. Because when Rhonda's happy, I'm happy. When Rhonda's happy, everybody in the house is happy. No, just kidding. No. But you know what? When I died to myself, that's when I stopped realizing that the problem wasn't with Rhonda, it was with me. You know why a lot of husbands not happy? Because they're unhappy with themselves. You know why a lot of wives are not happy? You're unhappy with yourself. And that's why Jesus says, husbands, love your wives better than you love yourself. You're going to stop nagging her. You're going to stop nagging him when you realize that the problem is not with that person. The problem is with you. And if you spend more time focusing on that person that you're trying to have the relationship with, you're going to be a better person. You want to be a better friend? Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 39. It's so important. He says it again in Romans chapter 13, verse number 9. It's so important. He says it again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. It's so important. He says it again in James chapter 2 and verse number 8. How can I be a better friend? Love your friend, love your neighbor more than you love whom? Yourself. When will I go into my pocket and give to you? When I love you more than I love myself. But if all I'm thinking about myself and you need something, I'm not going to give it to you. The greatest commandment in the world is to love God. The second greatest commandment is to love thy neighbor. How? As you love yourself. And what that means is, Sammy, you die to yourself. Then you can love Dan. And I can love Dan even though he's not in my same race, because it doesn't matter. I can love Dan even though I don't agree with some of his life. It doesn't matter. I can love another person. You see, when you think about yourself, you know, there are certain things about people that keep you from loving them because they don't satisfy your desires. They don't please you. They don't make you happy. You see, we're so picky on who we want to love. But when you're dead to self, you can love everybody. Jesus died for sinners. You know why? Because he died to himself. He was there to please God and not himself. When I realized that, there were some things that changed about me. And every day I'm getting better because I know what it means to be a friend. A friend is someone that can accept people with their mistakes and their limitations, and you're trying to help them to love themselves so they will want to rise up and do better. But when I say I can't love you because you don't act the way I want you to act, you don't think the way I want you to think, you don't talk the way I want you to talk, you don't dress the way I want you to dress, no, I can love you in spite of yourself because God loves me. That's how you keep relationships. You see, the reason some parents can't get along with their children is because they can't accept their children the way they are. And that's why children won't change, because they want to make your life bitter because you are making theirs. When we can stop being enemies and start being friends is when we're dead to self. Dead to self. Turn to Matthew 16, look at verse 24. How can I be a better Christian? Jesus says, I can be a better Christian when I'm dead to myself. If any man will come after me, you've quoted that and you read that many times, you must first do what? Deny himself. Die to yourself. You see, I can come to church. If we had to come to church every day instead of just on Sunday, you see, it wouldn't matter if you're dead to self. You're here not to please yourself. You're here to please God. You know why some people have problems serving God and being faithful to God? Is because the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is not with the church. The problem is with self. We want to do our thing, our way. And church service is not like going to Burger King. Have it your way. You know, that's what people want nowadays when it comes to religion. They want it their way. You can't have it your way. It's not about me. It's about God. And what will you want? What do you have me to do? And I will have that mentality as long as I'm dead to self. And I can keep this relationship with my Father, with my Savior, as long as I am dead to myself. As long as I am dead to Sammy, Rhonda doesn't have to worry about me cheating on her. Rhonda doesn't have to worry about me leaving her one day. And I don't have to worry about her leaving me. As long as she's dead to herself and she's alive to me. And I'm alive to her. You see, people have problems in relationship because they don't realize that you have to die to self. Number 8, which is number 3 and the last one for the day. It's not enough. What was number 6? See if you're still with me. Say thank you. What's number 7? Remain dead to self. Number 8, be honest. Be honest. Be truthful. Tell the truth. I want to read a few verses. I was going to quote these, but I want to read them. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to the book of Proverbs. Let me read 4 verses. I want to start with Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 3. Listen to what the Bible says about integrity, about honesty, about truthfulness. Proverbs 11, verse 3. Good people are guided by their honesty, but crooks who lie and cheat will ruin themselves. Good relationships are guided by honesty. Ron and I will have a rich relationship as long as we're honest with one another. I will have a rich relationship with God as long as I'm honest with God, because he's always going to be honest with me. You know, when problems start occurring in a relationship, when we start lying to one another. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse number 1. It is better to be poor and honest than to be a liar and a fool. In other words, the King James says it a little different. And it says it's better to be an honest person than to have wealth. In other words, tell the truth. Even on your taxes, amen? Amen. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You want to see what honesty would do to you? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse number 7. When people live good, honest lives, Their children are blessed. You know what I can give my children? Is for them to see honesty between a mom and I. When they can see how I love their mother, and they can see how I treasure their mother, and that I'm honest with their mother, they're going to say, hey, that's a good man right there. And hopefully, they're going to want to grow up and be like that. And they're going to pass it on. You see, that's how we change generations. You know what's wrong with generations of young people today? Look at what they're seeing in relationships. In every facet of life. Look at what they're seeing. And young people say, hey, nobody's honest with one another. You know how to keep relationships strong? Honesty. My time is foregone. Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll close with verse number 1. It is better to be respected than to be rich. A good name is worth more than silver and gold. What's the point? Reputation. What kind of reputation do you have with your wife or with your husband, with your children, with your church member, with the people you work with? Do they perceive you as an honest person? You see how to keep relationships going. All relationships will have their ups and downs. All relationships can be improved. But it starts with a change and your cognitive thinking process. How do you start changing? These biblical insights are just some ways to change the way you think that will lead to a change in your behavior. I have 4 more to share with you. And I promise you in the time that's allotted, I'll get to all 4 of them on tomorrow. May God bless you.